ministry of Nelson Ihiagu. Be stirred as you listen.
So today we're going to be looking at the topic, something I titled Workings of Purpose. Say Workings of Purpose. Workings of Purpose. And I think this is a very important topic. Today we will not be able to pray for long because of setup and everything, but we'll pray for 20 minutes. Say 20 minutes. Before I start this sermon, I have some introductory thoughts to share. You know, the Bible says, Jesus speaking, he said, where two or three are gathered, there I am. Are you with me? Jesus said, there I am. Now, of course, the context of that verse is church discipline. I showed us that in Orthodoxy. The context of that verse is church discipline. Jesus was saying, any judgment you pass, it is as though I passed it. And I passed it in agreement with whatever judgment you meted to the person. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. However, there is something important to note here. Jesus, however, even if it's judgment that was going to be passed, Jesus is letting us know that where two or three believers are gathered, he is there. So it means that no other gathering is as important as the gathering of the saints. Why? Because God is there. Now, God is everywhere, but for Jesus to say, I am there, it means that, permit me to describe it like this, there is a hallowed presence of God that is only known when the saints gather, that is known by revelation only. Are you listening to me? That is known by revelation only. So, the question is this, we're more than two, we're more than three, is Jesus here?
Yes,
come on, talk to me, is Jesus here?
Yes, sir.
So let me throw this question. How will you behave if Jesus was here bodily? There are angels in the room. So what that means is there are people beyond, besides me, other, there are ministering spirits at work. Some of you, just pay attention. The Lord will speak to you. The Lord will give ideas. The Lord will give ideas. I see something that looks like an angel pointing something in someone's head. So just pay attention. It may be leadings and stuff. How will you behave or how will you be if Jesus was here bodily? If Jesus was here bodily. So it means, let me make it more simple. If Jesus was the one standing on the pulpit or Jesus was amongst us bodily, there is a way and a disposition we have to receiving the word. Is that true? There's a disposition we have in that gathering of the saints. Is that true? It means that as Jesus is here, I will be careful, or I'll be not careful. Careful is not the word. I'll be conscious of the of my actions. When Jesus is here, you won't be on Instagram. Do you get that? When Jesus is here, you see, there's a reason why many people don't see many flows of the supernatural or the things of the spirit in their lives. One reason is not just prayer or many things. One reason is honor. Whatever you don't honor will diminish. Even if it was there before, it will diminish. If it was not there, you won't see. Now, the disposition of faith is faith most times, right? Faith believes it, then sees it. Come on, say faith.
Faith.
Believes it,
faith.
Then sees it. Come on, one more. Say it out loud. Say faith.
Faith.
Believes it,
believes
then sees it.
Faith.
So, many times, because we have refused to see from the lens of revelation, i.e. believing, we will not see what we call manifestations. And it's not just believing for a healing, for a job, for all those things. In the little things like this, Jesus is here, so I'm conscious. Have you ever been in a meeting where, or have you been in a time of prayer where, let me explain it practically. You're in the time of prayer and you were praying and the prayer time was dry. If, have you been like that? Raise your hand. If you've never had that, you don't have a prayer life. Everybody has had that. The prayer was dry. But all of a sudden, it seems like the Lord just led you to pray a particular prayer point, sing a particular song, go on your knees or something, and boom, it looked like heavens opened. Has that happened to anybody? Raise your hand. What that is was giving into the flow. And what that was actually a show of faith. Come on, are you listening to me? Have you been in meetings where you were just sitting down, you know, the meeting was just happening, and then all of a sudden, maybe the Lord stirred you to rejoice or to lift your hands, and it seemed like the meeting shifted for you at that point. That was the show of faith. Listen, it doesn't have to be like that. It has to be from the simple instructions in the Word of God. If Jesus is here, I receive it as if he is here, because he is. So everything that is possible if Jesus would have been the one teaching, anything that is possible if Jesus was in our midst, is possible even as the word is being shared. Come on, are you listening to me? And that is the disposition. If you were assured that a miracle will come your way, how will you sit? How will your heart be? Where will your pen be? Amen. It's something to pay attention to. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, 21. Are you there? Let's read this like a mass choir. 1, 2, go. No, let's do better. Let's read it like a mass choir. 1, 2, go.
Uh-huh.
Let's read it again. 1, 2, go. And to die again. So this is Paul speaking. He said, for to me, to live is Christ. And to die, what? Gain. You see, when we talk about workings of purpose, every Christian theology has implications. So at the end of your theology is what doctrinally is supposed to be called doxology. Meaning at the end of your knowledge of God should be a flow of your knowledge of God should flow into your worship of the same God. Are you with me? Your knowledge of God should. So if your knowledge of God does not flow into worship, what Paul calls that is having a form of godliness. Come on. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That was the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Aside from the fact that they were putting people under pressure that they themselves could not have. But have you seen people who have used faith to be wicked before? Talk to me now. Such that a man gets healed on the Sabbath day. And rather than for them to be excited that the man is healed on the Sabbath day, they are saying, why is he breaking the Sabbath? By carrying his mat. Why should he walk on the Sabbath day? And Jesus said, this man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The entire point was that man should have time to rest, which was prefiguring the rest we will have in Christ. That was exactly what Jesus was saying. But they elevated traditions and what Jesus said, what are the two greatest commandments? You shall love the Lord your God and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He called it the golden rule. You shall have these things. So if you elevate or any theology that demeans a man and esteems any other system above the worth and God's love for that man is false or is applied wrongly. And of course, when I say love, it has to be from God's perspective. Come on, are you with me? Because love is not love. Because different definitions. I said all that to say this. There are implications to our faith. When we have things like purpose, there are workings that a man who knows purpose should have in his heart. There are things that he should birth out of that man. Like I have said, C.S. Lewis, I've quoted him many times, he said, Christianity is not just the light, it's not just light that we see, it is the light by which through that light we see all other things. So it's not just enough to be a Christian, you must have a Christian worldview. You must not just have Christian theology. Christian theology is the lens by which you see all other things. Come on, are you listening to me? Yes, sir. And that's exactly what Paul wanted to achieve when he spoke to us about the renewing of our minds. Philippians 1:21, Paul was speaking, he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You see, one, what this simply means is Christ is worth living for. And because of that, he's also worth dying for. Christ means much in life and in death. One way to know why you exist, you know, put it this way, if you know why you live, it's worthy to die for. So one way to know purpose is to know, is it worth dying for? Come on, are you listening to me? Is it worth dying for? If it's worth dying for, then it's something that should be the overwhelming drive of your life. It should be the overwhelming drive of your life. So that when you put this in perspective, you then get to understand that every other thing that will pass away with time is not worth living for. Now, you should do them well in your lifetime, but they are not the focus and the focal point of your life. Do you get this? Uh-huh. So, one of the workings of purpose, like I wrote here, is it's a drive for life and it's reason enough to die. It's a drive for life and it's reason enough to die. You see, the reason why I can get up every day in this fallen world, in this world that everything tends and pushes to vanity, is because now there's the one I'm going to give account to. There's the one who gave me breath in my lungs. There's the one who, the reason he created me was to give him glory. Are you here? The reason he created me was to give him glory. So why I exist is to know him and to make him known. That's exactly why I exist. So if that is fact, because he is worth living for, if I give my life for that sake, I have won. I have won. What did Jesus say? He said, he that tries to save his life will lose it. And he that tries to lose his life, he that tries to save his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will gain it. So Jesus is basically saying that in me is the essence of life found. In me is the essence of life found. Because he is worth living for, he's worth dying for. Anything that is not worth dying for should not have the totality of your existence. Anything that is not worth dying for should not be the summary of your life. Come on, are you listening to me, TC? Anything that is not worth dying for should not be the what? Summary of your life. And that's exactly why we quoted this here. Reiterating the things I said yesterday. Or I said last week. There is happiness in purpose, but purpose isn't happiness. It isn't happiness. Be happy in what God, and that's why you must define happiness from God's lens. You know, our world is obey your thirst, live how you like, do you. And I've said this many times, if you obey your thirst, you will self-destruct. You will self-destruct. And it's a lesson in life. The things that are going to make you healthy are the things that are not sweet to eat. Are you listening to me? If you wanted to, say for example, imagine in the place of water, we drank, you know, chocolate drinks. To have summer body, you ate pizza. You know, Tofumi always says summer body, but we've not seen it. I get me? So Tofumi would have hit it. He would have hit it. Right? But the way Tofumi is now, he can be a surrogate. That stomach will not let him see front. Praise the Lord. All right. There is happiness in purpose, but it's not. There's happiness in purpose, but you can't simply define purpose because I'm happy in it. Because our feelings are a terrible arbiter of truth. Oh. Your feelings are a wonderful follower, horrible leaders. Wonderful followers. I mean, when you get married, because there are many unmarried people in the house, amen. But one thing I know is this. About anything in life, even the things that were your greatest passions, at some point you were tired. You were tired. Are you listening to me? You were tired. However, as you kept at it, your feelings began to catch up. So, you know, I was talking to a couple. February is close, so I might as well start. I was talking to a couple, and I was telling them that, you see, one reason, see, I'm being a pastor, you hear things, God. One reason, and it's a privilege anyways, one reason people cheat in marriage, really, is that I've seen, is there's an itch at the back of our minds that if I just try, there's something outside that I'm not seeing inside. And that applies to us in every area of our lives. There's something I want to hit that if I just scratch that itch, it will go. But it's not true. It will only grow. It's not true. Purpose is more akin to sacrifice than happiness. And it's in that sacrifice you now begin to be happy with what the Lord has placed on your heart. You know, anyways, wrapping the thought is one way to get what purpose is basically to ask, is it worth dying for? If it's not, then that cannot be the summary of your existence. That cannot be the summary of your existence. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Run with me. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. He said, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if you go back to verse 28, you see Jesus basically speaking and said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I.e., if we come to Jesus, what was a burden will be taken away. Is that true? Talk to me. Is that true? What was a burden will be taken away. But Jesus now tells us that we then carry his own burdens. The context of this simply is the gospel. When you believe the gospel is the Lord's yoke. Are you with me? You take that. But even the gospel is streamlining. When a man receives the life of Christ is carrying your cross, denying yourself daily, and following the one who is worth more than every other thing. So death? That in itself is its own yoke. And it's a yoke that the man in Christ gladly carries. Come on, are you listening to me? It's a yoke that the man in Christ gladly carries. See, if the man in Christ lays down his life for the one who died for him, it's worth it. Remember I said this last week, and can I come down? And I'm talking to the media camera person so they can be ready for me. Are we good to go now? Good. Remember I said something last week, you see, and running this to why purpose is not akin to happiness is simply this. The Bible speaks of the fact that Jesus speaking a parable. He said he gave some 5 copper coins, gave some 2 copper coins, gave another one what? 1 copper coin. Now, when he gave the 3 of them copper coins, the one that has 5 copper coins did what he did with it and got his reward. The one that has 2 copper coins did what he did and got his reward. The one that had 1 copper coin was the unfaithful steward and got punishment. Now, the problem was not that he got, well, the problem was not that he had 1 copper coin. The problem was that he didn't use that copper coin. Let me tell you guys this. One thing about God's plan is simple. God's plan puts a limitation on you. There could be things, and you see, God's plan is where the man in Christ should find peace. And that's exactly why we taught that last week on sacrifice. You see, you can have God's plan. In God's plan, let me put it this way. In God's plan, some people will be wealthier than others. Are you aware? Yes, let me explain this. And it's the hand of God. Come on, are you listening to me? Yes, let me explain this. Now, do I believe the Lord provides and prospers? Yes. But some will be more prosperous than others because of God's plan. Because to Esau and to Jacob, because Christ must come from the lineage of Jacob, Jacob will see more favor. So some people will have some kind of favor, not because of them, but because of others. And they will enjoy that favor. And they, because God gave them 5 talents, 5 copper coins. The one that has 2 is not supposed to be envious of the one that has 5. He's supposed to invest in his own. And when we understand this, like I said again, we will not, don't let anybody motivate you out of God's plan. Let me tell you, someone who the Lord tells to plant a church in, give me one very remote area in the UK now. You know what? Let me put it this way. Someone who the Lord tells to plant a church in, wait now. Wait. I'm thinking of a place. It's close to the holy place. I'm coming. Iraq. The Lord sent you to Iraq. You know, there's a man of God. He's a missionary to Sudan. Tell your neighbor Sudan. Yes. South Sudan, specifically. All the ministry work he's doing, our own Shebi is on Instagram. His own, he can't post it. Because if they track him, that devil is a liar. He can't post it. And I can't look at him and say, well, show me your workings. You are a failure. You can never, I can't say that to him. Because me, that the Lord has asked to come to Birmingham, are you aware, chances are, my work may be more prosperous and flourishing than his own. It may be more glorious, brighter than his own. But I can't look at him and say he's failing. I'm not the one that is marking his script. It's just like me, I look at someone in engineering looks at someone in law and says, I'm more intelligent than you. By what metrics? By what metrics? We're not using the same exams. So you must understand, listen, in God's plan, there are I'm emphasizing this again, there are tailor-made sacrifices for you. There are, in God's plan, there are limitations that could be on someone else that will not be on you. And there are limitations that could be on you that will not be on someone else. That other guy that is in South Sudan, again, if I marry somebody in South Sudan too, they are both missionaries now. It's a lot. My point is this. Never look at another person's sacrifice. You know, let me flip the coin now. I've heard people say things like this, you know, in God's plan, the people that are going to be generals in the kingdom, you don't know them. They are the ones that are in the villages, not the ones that are in the cities. You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know. Because the ones in the cities, the ones in the village, they have a common master. And let everybody answer to their Lord and their Savior. I wish I had more time to turn into that. But let's run. The hallmark for purpose is laying down some burdens and picking up the Lord's burden. Matthew 11, like I said, is laying down some burdens and picking up the Lord's burdens. Running with the Lord's cause. Laying down some burdens and picking up. There are burdens that the man in Christ carries for the kingdom's sake. Come on, are you here? There are burdens that the man in Christ carries for his master's sake. And he carries it with joy, gladness, and rejoicing. So I've laid down some burdens and I've taken on the ones that are the master's burdens. I laid down a yoke and I picked up his own. And you see, this is something we must learn early. You see, I went to a university where our chancellor always shouted about this Bible verse, Lamentations. Do you know where that is? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 17. Usa is proud. As I said, Lamentations, she's like, just call it. Let me open this thing. Lamentations 3:17. Go to 7. Let me see it. Jesus. But I checked it now. I missed it by 10 verses. Lamentations 10:27. You see, our chancellor always said, he said, I found it while I was fishing. It is good for a man to bear his yoke in his youth. It is good for a man to bear his yoke, to bear his burdens. See, don't wait till you are 40, 50, 60 before you start realizing what you will do with the Lord with your life. Don't. That's exactly why we started this topic with what Solomon said. Solomon realized. Solomon said, you know what? I'm going to gather singers. He said he gathered singers. Time. We'll come to that. He said he gathered singers. He did all those things. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He did all, he hedged. He said, I withheld nothing from my eyes. I let my heart go in pursuit of all those things. And then he found out his vanity. The problem with these things is many times we insist we must learn with our lives. Experience is the best teacher. But the complete quote says, for fools. Yeah, the complete quote. Experience is the best teacher. For fools, yes. Just the same way the quote is, it's better to be a jack of all trades than and a master of none than. Are you just quoting me? Yes. The quote actually says the opposite of how we use it. But yes, experience is the best teacher for fools. That's what the quote says. Because he has said it, it's okay. Solomon, you have done enough with your lifetime. I have learned from your lessons. And then he said it is vanity and the grasping for the wind. Listen, be intentional about your life early. And then, of course, it's never too late for the Lord to do anything with anyone at any age. But what an advantage it is to start a 100-meter dash when the gun goes off. Yes, so when we are praying, when we are giving to the Lord, it's not like that's the only thing we are doing with our lives. We're in school. You should take that serious. If you're a member of TEC, you already know that your academics should be taken serious, Abby. You should take your career serious. Of course, those of you that work, that have a relationship with, you know, I'm on your neck, Abby. You should take those things. You should go for the things with the best that you can. However, you go when the gun has been shot. Don't learn in old age what you should have now. And there are many reasons I'm saying this. Don't learn in old age the things that you would have learned. You see, we're going to do cryptocurrency, but let me drop this. See, any job that takes you away from your family is not God's plan. It's not God's plan. It's not God's plan. You see, do you know why it seems like grandparents love their grandchildren more than their children? I think it's because when they were raising their children, they were chasing the bag. They were trying to provide, and rightly so. All right, they were trying to provide and do all this. But when their grandchildren come, they probably had retired for a bit or will soon retire. So now they have all the time. When my mom sees my nephew, I'm like, why are you so happy? Why? And she starts jumping and she's like, oh my God. She doesn't want to know who else. Except when they're leaving for the weekend, she will call them and say, come and carry your child. Because children scatter everywhere. Children are cute when they are not your own. So. But she's very excited. Don't let that be you. Don't get to the end before you see beauty in the little things that are your life. Don't get to the end. Don't chase money at the expense of other more important things that have value that are not monetary. Come on, are you listening to me? Make the most. See, Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man to bear his yoke. Make the most of your life. Make the most of your life. And what that entails is all the things that will come your way, you will make the most of them as well. Your career. Your career is not the end in itself, but it can be a means. It is a gift from the Lord. So what will I do? That's why the Bible says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do it with all diligence. In that field, you see, again, the problem was not how many talents, it was what you did with them. So as a career comes your way, make the most of it. Make the most of it. In school, make the most of it. And that's like, you see, let me read a verse of scripture to us. Ecclesiastes 2. Am I boring you? All right. Thank you, Anita. Okay. Are you there? Ecclesiastes 2:24-25. Solomon says, nothing is better for a man than he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. Look at this. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Come on, listen. What this verse is saying is, Solomon is saying that as much as all these things in themselves cannot be the summary of our lives. Come on, are you listening to me? As much as all these things cannot be the summary of our lives, we must find pleasure in these things. Because he saw that these things were good that come from the hand of God. When I see my career, your boss and everybody at the office should not know you don't want to be there. Make the most of it. Because the Bible even has a work ethic that is supposed to be for believers. Because this thing is good from the hand of the Lord, I will make the most of it. Listen, my family. Solomon quoted this kind of thing. After saying it was vanity, he said that the best thing is to enjoy this. He said sunshine. Many of these things, enjoy. My family is a gift from God. I will make the most of it. We have one life. One. My family is that. My family also. The little pleasures I have. That's what he's trying to say here. The pleasures and all those things. My children. My career. My academics. All those things. Because it is good. It is good that I enjoy in this labor. And I see that these things are from the hand of the Lord also. They are from the hand of the Lord. So I will make the most of them. Whatsoever my hand finds to do, I will do it with all diligence. Come on, are you guys listening to me? I'm trying not to put these things in points. I'm putting them as one sermon so you know that they are all intertwined. It's not steps, they are intertwined. All I have, all I am, it's a gift from the Lord. So I'm going to enjoy it as it is. Flowing from the above, because I'm going to live a life that is of the Lord, right? One thing I will do, because I'm going to be intentional about my life early, I'm going to bear the burdens of my yoke I'm going to bear my burdens or bear my yoke in my youth, because I'm going to do all those things. You must understand that a life without boundaries is bondage. It's bondage. It's oxymoronic, but it's a fact. Because many people who got into habits and many things were looking for freedom but found bondage. They were looking for freedom. They were trying to express an appetite and now they can't stop. Do you know? I remember one conversation Doc and I were having and just talking about stuff. And I remember talked about somebody who went somewhere and was leaving the place with a babe that he did not get married to. And it seems like you are enjoying the life of your head, in quote, until you want to stop. and realize you can't. It's even very amazing. With £22,000, you have two girlfriends. Are you not broke enough? But that's not even why we're here. Habits are costly. I remember somebody said he stopped smoking because he just did the math and realized how much he was spending on cigar. He said, don't worry. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's financial sense. He said, I'm not spending again. They are expensive to maintain. Heard the story of a guy who was... I hate bondage because I've seen people in their 50s that are still bound to pornography. Bound. Something that they started with as a teenager. It was harmless. Heard the story of a guy who... This guy was in credit card debt because of porno. He said, the free one is not for me. Credit, what are you watching, my brother? Credit card. Premium or not. But it started harmless. It started harmless. See, because I know that there is one I'm going to give account to, purpose begets a sense of accountability. So because there is one I know I'm going to give account to, I'm not going to live my life the way I like. There's one I'm going to go and answer to about what I did with the breath in my lungs. And this is not a matter of going to heaven or hell. If you are saved, heaven is your destination. Come on, are you listening to me? If you are saved, heaven is your destination. This is about rewards in eternity. Rewards in eternity. And that's why I said shine brightest on your lane. You see, maybe in God's plan, God had destined that somebody reached 3,000 and he's reaching 300. And God had destined that another person reaches 300. And because of his laziness, maybe he's not doing so much. So he's reaching 200 people. You will say the person doing 300 is doing more than him, right? But in God's eyes, this person is doing more. Because this person is doing about 70%. 80%. This guy is doing only 10%. Shine brightest in your lane. Do what God has asked you to do. It's not about, don't get to heaven and realize that more could have come out of your life but didn't, because you didn't align with God. You didn't sacrifice what the Lord will have you kill. You didn't lay down Isaac. Don't do that. Amen. My Lord, my God. I will end. I will tell your neighbor he will end. Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 1. So this is Solomon speaking. He said, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, with merriment. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, ipena, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all days of their life. What Solomon was saying is, I tried wine. Let me drink this thing to the end. Let me use my life as research to see what men are running after. Verse 4. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted vineyards. He's saying he did all those things. And at the end, if you read on, he said it was vanity. Let me tell you the example of this. Imagine at 35, you are driving your dream car. You are in your dream house. You've hit all your goals. What then will you do with your life? That's when you will now realize that this can be all. All religions know that there is more to life. How they go about it may be wrong, but they know. They know. And that's exactly why the believer must have a Christian worldview, even on money. Trends must not give the believer value. The fact that he knows me, he called me by name, he has washed me by his blood, he has sealed me with his spirit, he has a plan for my life. That is what must give the believer purpose. The very hair on my head is numbered. Must give the believer purpose. And that's why success and excellence is not by the world standard. Come on, are you listening to me? Success is not the world. Have you heard of celebrities that had everything but commit suicide? Because they realize that all these things are not just exciting anymore. They are not just exciting anymore. There must be something else to my life beyond all these things. These things are not just exciting anymore. Success is in the Lord's plan. Will you do it well? Yes. But your success and your excellence standard is the excellency of the Lord. Is what he has said about you. Money alone will not satisfy, but money must be an end. Because I will enjoy in my labor and money will come from it. Remember what we read in Ecclesiastes. I will enjoy in my labor and money will come from it. Beyond just asking the Lord for favor, who will you be an avenue of favor to? Who will you look around and say the person got better because of you? Listen, are you aware you can send somebody to school? You can send somebody from primary school to university. They may never see your face once because they don't have to. It's not about you. It must be an end. So why are we sharing this? Get priorities and boundaries early. There must be principles in your life that can't be broken for money, no matter how much. There must be things. And if you don't know this, or if this has not been tested in your life, it's coming. There will always, David, Ibila, say you don't see something. There will always be tests for your life. Always. It's coming. Most times, you see, anything that comes into your life that you're not making use of, if you are piling, maybe you don't know that you don't have self-control. You're just broke. And there's some kind of temptations that money can only fuel. It takes money to cocaine. No, now. How much are you earning? Shola, how much is it again? I'll take 5 minutes out of our prayer time. But I'll still end when I'm supposed to end. Listen. let me say it this way. Are we supposed to, is class supposed to be a thing with us? But do people, social class, but do people marry within their social class? Some of you are trying to say, no, we're in Christ. It's true. The reason you met that person was because of the kind of privileges your parents' money could afford you. Yes, now. The reason you could, no, you are still single, so you don't know what we're talking about. Anyways, like I was saying, how are you? So, the reason you met that person was because of that. Is if you find someone with a master's degree, for example, getting married to someone who has no certification, money is the level. Are you getting me now? Mm-hmm. He has something that's heavier than the certificate. He has something. Or something that can bring money is the leveler. Having said that, so you married somebody that, you know, was within your sphere and all, you now begin to blow. And you now start seeing some strange kinds of alerts that you didn't see before. So HMRC will take, but you don't feel it anymore because after the canker home, you're still there. So HMRC has taken, but you gallant. So you now realize that by the end of the month, you can still survive 6 months without another income. Do you know how you, boredom will begin to give you ideas. Have you ever not had cravings until you realize you had money somewhere? Yes. When your money just enter, you say, and I've been craving chicken and chips. You'd have been eating noodles in peace. So, there are some temptations that belong to a financial cadre. Can I prophesy? Mm-hmm. Those temptations, if you leave money, time. You know, David had fought wars in his heyday. Now he's a big boy. So he just comes out on the field, on the balcony, and sees Bathsheba washing her vessel. He says, what is this mystery? It's a young lady near me now. Come closer. And then he impregnates her. You see, sin will lead you deeper. And because her husband was, because he is king, he calls the husband back from war so that he can, The guy now sleeps in the king's house and says, I cannot live here. He says, no, you can't. He says, okay. He now says, go with a letter. And they sent him to the front so that he will die. And Nathan came to him and said, oh boy, I want to tell you a story. Say there are two people. One slaughtered. What a rich man had flocks. And then he had a herd of animals and flock of sheep. And he picked the poor man's only sheep and killed it. What will happen? David said, that man should be king. He said, you are that man. And David repented before the Lord. Listen. Ladies and gentlemen. First of all, David got there because he was bored. If you have too much time on your hands, some of you that have habits, you don't need deliverance, you need a job. There's too much time on your hands. Yes. If you come back tired, you will pray, eat, and sleep. There'll be no time. But when you are not busy, you will gossip. You will just, have you seen that girl? This one, shut up. You chapa, yapa, yapa like a rat. Shanice. Shut up. Listen, there must be things without a price in your life. Buy God's idea of happiness. Sometimes, I don't like it, may be a product of you've not tried enough. If this is the direction of the Lord, it doesn't matter. Leave Sophie alone. Okay, hold Sophie. If this is the direction of the Lord, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to finish this sermon now. We'll get our own place. You people don't want us to get our place. Amen. We will get our own place.
Amen.
Okay. Having said that, listen, by tenacity. Your life must be premised on things that are unmovable or immovable. Your life must be premised on things that are immovable. Romans 8, 37, 38, 39. Romans 8, 37. Let's just read this final verse and then we run. Romans 8. He said, yet in all these things we know that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Purpose gives you a hope for the future. Of course, it puts a sense of accountability, but another thing is, it doesn't matter what I hit in this life. My life is not built on the sand. My life is built on a rock. My life is premised on Jesus. God has a plan irrespective of how many failures I get. God has a plan irrespective of how many times I tried and it did not work as well. God has a plan. God has a plan. There is hope for my future. Life will not happen to me. Some of you have applied, the job stopped coming. The job you were getting, unfortunately, and you stopped applying. Apply again. Isaac, the Lord told Isaac, sow in that land. Isaac dug a well, they closed it. He closed it. In God's plan, you may try things and you may meet resistance at first. God, the fact that God said does not mean resistance will not come. Purpose gives you a hope for tomorrow by tenacity. Can you give me 5 more minutes? I'm asking at me because I live with her. You will go home. I will go to her house. So like Isaac, I will dig another well. God has a plan for my life. As far as this is the direction the Lord has said, I will try again. I will go again. Life is worth living. I will go again. I will glorify the Lord in my life. There are many other people who will not get better, who will not see the Lord if they have not met me. So I will go again. I will go again. I will not slim fit what God has given me to do because of a trauma I've had. I read this during the midweek service. It said how they provoked, Psalm 78, how they provoked the Holy One of Israel with their unbelief. They limited the Holy. How can you limit God? Unbelief. It is better for the Lord to do for a man than the Lord to change a man's mind, because man has free will. The children of Israel, God had done many things for them back to back to back, yet they basked in unbelief. Yet they basked in unbelief. Exodus 13:17, the Bible says the Lord did not lead them the way of the Philistines. If he had led them, lest they see war and turn back. Yes, it said then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. Who let them go? Pharaoh. How? By a mighty hand of God. Right? He now said that God let the people go by ways of the land. Although that was near. Egypt was nearer. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. There are things that the Lord has for you, but not this version of you. Not this your mind. This your mind will slim fit, will short circuit what God wants to do. Don't give me that favor. Will short circuit what the Lord wants to do. Listen, go again. Can I tell you something? Dream with God. Oh my goodness. Dream with God. Dream with God. When he brings Abraham and shows him the sky, see. See. See if he had not started when the Lord began to put our building in our heart. At that time, we had not paid our first rent. But the Lord began to put it in my heart. Some people ask me, how we pay the rent? I said, that's the same question me too. I'm asking. But I remember I had a dream. The Lord gave me a vision of one of his servants. And I woke up that morning and I told Daniel, let's buy everything. We'll buy everything we need. You child gave me. Just give me. I love you too. Everything you do. I know now. That's what I said. You're taking 20 seconds out of my time. So listen, as I begin to round up, the goal is not to be successful. The goal is to fulfill purpose. Don't be idle, be up to something. The mark is not where we put it, it's where he has put it. There is nothing that you will attain in your life that you can just tick off the box. Lord, what next? Lord, where next? Lord, what else am I doing? I've had really large meetings, but my heart is open for more, Jesus. I want to see more miracles. This is in my call. I want to see more miracles. I want to see more men saved. I want to be a better person, a better husband. I want to grow more for you, Jesus. There is no amount of money that will hit me that will change me. You will not even know. Because there is more. There's more. Money is just a tool. It's a means. There must be more. There must be more. So listen, everything that the Lord brings your way, do it well. Because don't think If Goliath is your first challenge, you will not be prepared. There must be the lion and the bear. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it well. There must be the lion and the bear. Purpose is not about success, it's about accountability. There's no finish line. The only mark is till we see Jesus. At the end of our lives, it doesn't matter where we are financially. It doesn't matter what it is. And of course, the Lord prospers. I believe that I will say I have run my race. I have finished my course. The greatest achievement for me as a believer is that he looked at me and said, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Welcome home. Because of purpose, I may not know all the pictures, but I know the one who is leading me. In God's plan, I know the one who is telling me to move forward. I will follow his voice. I will follow his voice. And like God, I can look at areas of my life where truly is null and void, and I can give it correction. I can give it correction. Some people don't go to school because they say, I'm older than everybody. Well, when you are in the next 3 years, you are still going to be that 33. Whether you do the school or not, just do it. In 8 months, you are still going to have passed 8 months, whether you do the certification or not. Whatever it is, go for it. There's no finish line. Lord, what you want is what I want. And I'm not going to do another man's own. I'm going to do what you want for me. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet.
I trust you were blessed by the teaching of God's word. Nelson Behavior Ministries is a mandate that seeks to see men saved, trained, and sent. For more ministry content, visit us at t.me/Nelson Behavior. And for contact details, follow on Instagram @Nelson Behavior. God bless you.